This is In the News for March 16th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from Common Dreams News Center at commondreams.org and is from The Independent in the United Kingdom, written by Kim Sengupta. Embargoes on global arms trade have been total failure, says UN. All United Nations arms embargoes have been breached with impunity, with only a handful of the weapons traffickers responsible for the trade and death ever facing prosecution, according to a report, despite the UN naming hundreds of companies, including those in Britain, for allegedly violating embargoes imposed on countries engaged in bloody conflicts and repression. The system for bringing them to book has abjectly failed. The report, by leading human rights groups, presented to the UN Security Council today, asked for urgent measures to control the proliferation, including agreement on an international arms trade treaty. The call for reform is backed in a letter by, among others, the Nobel laureates Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Jody Williams, and Oscar Arias, the former UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Mary Robinson, the actors Helen Mirren, Christopher Ecclestone, and Tony Robinson, the author and activist Arundhati Roy, Lieutenant General Romeo Dallaire, who led UN forces during the Rwanda genocide, and the Albert Schweitzer Institute. The letter they wrote says, quote, "Today, millions of people around the world are living in fear of armed violence. They have good reason to be afraid. Most victims of armed violence are not uniformed soldiers, nor even fighters, but ordinary men, women, and children. In 2006, the world can make the first step towards bringing the arms trade under control by starting negotiations on an international arms trade treaty. What we are calling for is not revolutionary. It simply consolidates countries' existing and emerging obligations under international law into a universal standard for arms sales, but it has the power to save hundreds of thousands of lives." End quote. That, of course, is from the letter to the UN Security Council. The dossier by Oxfam International, Amnesty International, and International Action Network on Small Arms describes how companies and individuals have been involved in illicit transactions in weapons. Four UK companies were named in UN embargo reports in the past 10 years. None are known to have faced prosecution by the British government. The proposed treaty has the backing of 45 countries, including the UK and other members of the EU, as well as Britain's Defence Manufacturers Association. However, the US, Russia, and China, responsible for a large percentage of world's arms exports, are yet to give support. The report, UN Arms Embargo, an overview of the last 10 years, points out that despite UN mandatory arms embargoes being legally binding, many member states have not made their violation a criminal offense. Again, this is from The Independent UK, taken from commondreams.org and written by Kim Sengupta. Next up, a press release from the Human Rights Campaign at 202-628-4160, Cincinnati's passage of non-discrimination measures, a triumph for fairness. This is out of Washington, D.C., March 15th. Following the November 2004 repeal of a one-of-a-kind anti-gay law, the Cincinnati City Council voted today to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity and expression in employment, housing, and public accommodations. Led by Equality Cincinnati and local leaders and supported by the Human Rights Campaign, the move ensures fairness for Cincinnatians. According to Human Rights Campaign President Joe Salmanese, quote, "Cincinnati is a symbol of where America itself is when it comes to fairness. In large cities and small towns, on the coast and in the heartland, Americans want us moving toward equality, not away from it," end quote. Salmanese continued, quote, "Equality Cincinnati and local leaders, especially Councilman Crowley, deserve enormous respect for their work. In the face of an anti-gay political obstacle sustained by a few, they gave voice to the many," end quote. In November 2004, the majority of Cincinnatians repealed the city's discriminatory Article 12, which prohibited the city from passing any laws protecting gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. The city stood alone in the United States as the only place where such laws were prohibited. The council voted 8-1 to pass the non-discrimination initiative. Some of Ohio's largest private corporations already prohibit this kind of discrimination, including Nationwide, NCR Corp., Owens Corning, and Cooper Tire and Rubber. Cincinnati joins 76 other jurisdictions prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. 17 states in the District of Columbia prohibit sexual orientation-based discrimination, and 8 also prohibit gender identity-based discrimination. Again, this is from the Human Rights Campaign, taken off the Common Dreams Progressive Newswire at commondreams.org. The phone number for that Human Rights Campaign is 202-628-4160. And finally today, another news release, this one from Greenpeace, taken from commondreams.org again. Agrobiotech giant Syngenta plants illegal genetically engineered crop in Brazilian World Heritage Site. Over 1,000 farmers protest at the site as Greenpeace demands action. This is out of Curitiba, Brazil. Dated March 15th, over 1,000 farmers occupied the site of an illegal field trial of genetically engineered soybeans planted by agrobiotech giant Syngenta in the National Park of Iguaçu in Paraná, southern Brazil, on Tuesday. The site of the illegal trials was occupied by protesting farmers from Via Campesina, an organization representing small farmers in the region. Ironically, the illegal crop was planted near to Curitiba, where 132 countries are meeting to agree to measures to prevent illegal movement and planting of genetically engineered crops and to protect biodiversity, the so-called biosafety protocol. Brazilian legislation prohibits the release of GMOs in protected areas and their surroundings. Greenpeace immediately called for the crop to be destroyed. Mariana Paulo, Greenpeace genetic engineering campaigner, said, quote, "This is an environmental crime and clearly illustrates the GMO industry's attitude on biosafety and their level of respect for biodiversity. We expect the Brazilian government to fully investigate the case, to hold Syngenta accountable, and to destroy this field trial immediately," end quote. Paraná's government, Roberto Requeiro, has offered to have Syngenta soybeans burnt immediately, declaring that he wants to continue to keep the state free of GMOs. Brazil's Minister for Environment, Marina Silva, who is president at the Biosafety Protocol meeting, also announced that the case would be investigated and would eventually lead to prosecutions. Delegations from 132 countries meeting at the third meeting of the International Biosafety Protocol are locked in negotiations on international standards for labeling of shipments of genetically engineered food and feed. Accurate and specific labeling of GMO crops is vital in order to ensure that they do not mix with non-GE products and leak into the environment. Also, at stake is risk assessment of GE organisms and their impact on biodiversity. Again, this is a press release from Greenpeace, taken from commondreams.org. This has been In the News for March 16, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.